Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to have the noted author, Mr. Robert Nathan, with us today to narrate a special radio adaptation of his best-selling novel, The Enchanted Voyage, from Hollywood on Romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, the delightful adventures of a man and his sailboat sailing the highways of America, as we present Robert Nathan's The Enchanted Voyage with our special guest, Mr. Nathan, as narrator.
Mr. Hector Peckett had a boat. He had built it himself. It stood squarely on the ground in the yard of his little home in the Bronx, very far from the water. Though its seams were uncorked and it had no keel, to Mr. Peckett it was an argosy in which he sailed the limitless seas of imagination. It was the Golden Hind, the Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria, although for reasons of discretion it was named the Sarah Peckett after his wife. But Mrs. Peckett had no use for it.
I've been talking to Schultz the butcher. He might be interested in buying that thing you call a boat and turning it into a hot dog stand.
My boat? Buy my boat? To make a hot dog stand?
Now you listen to me, Hector Peckett. I'm tired of having you play the sailor while I worry the hair off my head with the bills I can't pay.
We haven't starved yet.
And I don't intend to. I'm thinking of the future.
So am I. And it says don't sell my boat.
Not to me it don't. And what it says to me, I aim for you to listen to.
The very next evening, an outraged Mr. Peckett burst into the kitchen.
What have you done to my boat?
Nothing.
You put wheels under it.
It was Mr. Schultz put the wheels under it.
Why?
If you must know, to roll it down to the corner first thing in the morning to make a hot dog stand out of it.
You sold it.
I did, and got paid for it, cash.
But it was mine! You have no right.
As much right as you have to play the hero out in the backyard while I scrimp and save and work my fingers to the bone. Now wash your hands. Supper will be ready in a minute.
After supper, Mr. Peckett went out to spend his last night on the boat. He thought of all the ports he had planned to touch at before snow fell, the strange and secret places he had been saving up for himself, the Black Sea and the Golden Horn. It was now or never for them. He'd have to hurry. He ran his hand over the planks, up and down the rigging. With what love he had put her together, with what steadfastness she had served him. But it had all been make-believe. They'd never been anywhere, really, his boat and he, and now they never would be. The wheels had belonged to a cart once. The wagon tongue stood up past the boat's counter. One could steer by using the tongue like a tiller, and that's just what they do in the morning, steer her down to the corner on her first, last, humiliating voyage. The evening air was cold and moist, and there was a trace of rain in it. Captain Hector Peckett went below and curled up in his bunk. Night came down. The windows of his home glowed like a lighthouse in the darkness. Not far from where the Sarah Peckett rode at anchor, the shifts were changing at the Hollywood restaurant on Fordham Road. Two waitresses were getting into their street clothes. One was a redhead. The other was Mary Kelly.
What you doing tonight, Mary?
Nothing. Same as last night. Same as tomorrow night.
Me, I got a live one, I think. That cute-looking fella in booth 7. He asked me what I'm doing, and I says nothing I wouldn't be willing to do with you, and there you are.
Oh, I couldn't do a thing like that.
Why not?
I'm waiting for Mr. Wright to come along.
Oh, you're in a rut, dearie. If I was you, I'd get out of New York. Go south for the winter, where it's warm, and the joint's jumping with good-looking guys.
Could I? It costs too much.
Don't be a sucker all your life. Summer ride. When you get to Florida, jump. You'll know it by the palm trees.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Peckett woke with a start to feel his ship tremble. Thrusting his head out of the cabin, he was met full in the face by stinging spray. The Sarah Peckett was heeled far over, her sail bellied out taut. Mr. Peckett leaped for the tiller, and as the chill wind cleared his sleep-fogged mind, he realized that the spray was not salt, it was rain, and the force of the wind was about to capsize the Sarah Peckett into the mud of his own backyard. He grasped the wagon tongue, hoping somehow to ease her. She gave a lurch, her nose swung about in a quarter circle, the wind caught her fair aft, and the Sarah Peckett started slowly across the yard and out toward the street. The same squall that nearly capsized the Sarah Peckett nearly knocked Mary Kelly over as she stepped out of the Hollywood restaurant into the cold wetness of Fordham Road. She stepped into the street as a car approached. It went by her fast, splashing her with dirty water. She jumped back out of the way, stumbled, and sat down hard in a puddle. It was the final indignity.
Oh!
At this moment, Mr. Peckett, bowling along the avenue at a good 4 knots, saw her sitting in the street. Man overboard, he thought, and without a moment's hesitation, smartly swung the bow of the Sarah Peckett up into the wind and brought her alongside Mary.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Well, if you're going my way...
Climb aboard. Here, grab my hand. Lively now. Look out for the stays. Sit up there against the bulkhead. Let's pray.
Why, it's a boat.
That she is, ma'am, and a sweetheart. Look the way she handles.
Where are you going?
We're headed for the Caribbean Sea, ma'am.
The Caribbean? Well, that's a long way off, isn't it?
It is, ma'am, but we'll make it if the wind holds. But I'll drop you anywhere, as you say.
All right, mister. You can let me off in Florida.
The wind held fair across the Bronx, but it freshened over the Hudson, giving Captain Peckett a little trouble on the George Washington Bridge, where they nearly blew off into the Hudson River.
Oh, we're blowing away!
No call to scare, ma'am. Got to take advantage of a wind like this. Why, I wouldn't be surprised if it blew us half to Cuba before morning.
But next morning, when Mary awoke and came on deck, she saw no palm trees. The Sarah Peckett was moored to a gasoline pump in a filling station, and stretching off around them were brown stubble fields. Mr. Peckett, huddled under his coat in the cockpit, heard her moving about and opened a tentative eye.
Good morning, miss.
Oh, hello.
Sleep all right?
Sort of. A little hard, those wooden beds.
Bunks?
Bunks. Where would you say we were?
Well, I do have a chart of the coast of Greenland, but it don't help much in this latitude. Howsoever, I'd guess we lay somewhere off Passaic, judging from the signs.
Oh. It's still a long way to Florida, isn't it?
Aye, but we'll make it, don't you worry. I aim to reach latitude 30 one of these days and view the Southern Cross for myself.
Mr. Peckett soon grew used to the road, which seemed to him like what he imagined the sea to be, endless and gently undulating. For the next couple of days, they held a south-southwesterly course across the Ramapos and over the rolling farm country of Pennsylvania and Maryland.
Look, there goes a pelican across her bow.
I didn't know pelicans were black.
Oh, it's a pity my wife couldn't be enjoying all this. But then she wouldn't know how to enjoy it. No, not Sarah.
Are you sure you're doing the right thing running away like this?
Oh, why not? After I've been around the world a little, I'll go home and settle down.
But... don't you think maybe you ought to at least write her and tell her where you are?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I'll think about it. Take the wheel, will you, Kelly? I'm going below for a wink of sleep. Call me at 4 bells.
Aye, aye, sir.
Southward, the haze of autumn deepened over Panama and Virginia. The Sarah Peckett floated on the wind toward Florida and the blue waters of the Gulf. And Mary, her hand on the tiller, dreamed of the warm South and of the day that Mr. Wright would come along. So it was that, rounding a curve in the road, she didn't see the young man and his cart until too late. She thrust the tiller hard to starboard. The sail jibed over to port, catching her on the head as it went by. But no power on land or sea could restrain the Sarah Peckett from hurling both wayfarer and conveyance into a ditch.
Hey, look out!
The boat came to a shuddering stop.
Ahoy down there!
Just who do you think you are?
Captain Hector Peckett of the sloop Sarah Peckett. 4 days out of New York and Florida bound. I'm sorry we ran afoul of you, mister, but the wind's tricky in these latitudes.
What's the matter with you? Can't you look where you're going?
Well, not very well on account of the sail. Stir yourself, Kelly, and loosen that main sheet while I help the young man get his things stored back in his cart.
Stir your own self. I got a goose egg on my head.
That kind of talk's close to mutiny.
Oh, dry up. My head hurts.
Where you bound, mister? What port of call?
I was on my way south, but you put me out of business. I can't go anywhere without my cart.
Oh, what are you, sort of busted? What line of business you in?
It says right there on the cart. Or what's left of it.
Well, now let's see. Henry Williams, dentist. Teeth filled. Knives and scissors ground. Well, I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Williams.
Can't say the same, Mr. Peckett.
Well, I can't say as I blame you. Well, now, I suppose the least I can do is give you a lift.
You got room for my grindstone, too?
Oh, I guess we can store it in the cockpit. You, Kelly? Bear a hand.
Go away. Don't bother me.
So you're Kelly. You ought to look where you're going.
Missed Kelly to you.
After 2 days of strained formality between them, the wind failed and the Sarah Peckett lay in the doldrums, becalmed on the outskirts of Fredericksburg in the 38th latitude. The captain had gone into town for supplies.
Mr. Williams.
Yes, Miss Kelly?
Must you make such a racket?
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Kelly. Gotta keep my tools in shape. Can't tell when I might run into a patient.
I'm trying to sleep.
I'm sorry I disturbed you. But a man has to think of his future. When there aren't enough teeth to fix, there are bound to be some knives that need sharpening.
Never heard of a dentist that didn't have a white coat in an office.
Fellow's got to begin someplace. Got to be a first time for everything. Sooner or later, I'll find my first patient.
You mean you've never fixed teeth before?
Well, in the clinic at college, of course, but not a patient of my very own.
Well, what do you know? You a college man.
Yep. Southern Iowa College of Agriculture, Business Accounting, and Dentistry.
Well, me, I never had any trouble with my teeth. Not to speak of, that is.
Everybody has trouble with their teeth sooner or later. I'd be glad to examine yours, if you'd like, anytime.
Well?
Just lean back against this tree. There.
Like this?
Yes, that'll do very nicely. Now, open wide. Feel this?
She lay back against the tree trunk and closed her eyes.
Just a little while.
It seemed to her that she was in good hands, hands she trusted. A father would be like that, or a lover. She opened her eyes dizzily and looked up at him, a wide, dark look like a child, innocent and beseeching. And his eyes looked back into hers. When is the moment of falling in love? How deep must the look go before the answering look rises to meet it, swept upward from the heart like a bird or a current? Which is the moment of seeing, when what was known before turns strange, and what was strange is strange no longer, but recalled as from a dream? What sudden glance or silence, what lifted hand or piteous look, fragrance, light upon flesh, unspoken promise, knocks on the door of memory, lights the warm lamp of seeing, opens to hunger again, to the thou art mine of the spirit, the I am thine of the heart. No one can say. There is no rule. There is no history. It comes in silence. The moment is full of doubt and wonder.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Henry.
You're welcome, Mary. And thank you. Thank you for being my very first patient.
In town, Mr. Peckett was paying for his groceries when he saw a rack of colored postcards which reminded him of his promise to Mary. He looked them over carefully and selected one that showed a garden of flowers. He carefully addressed it to his wife and then in a flourishing hand wrote his simple, terse message.
Dear Sarah, greetings from Valparaiso, Chile.
The next day, the Sarah Peckett lay still, becalmed outside Fredericksburg, and the captain decided to use the time to make some changes in her that he had long had in mind.
We'll be sailing into tropical waters south of here as soon as the wind freshens, and I aim to go fishing.
But why do you have to put a thingamajig on the bow and a whatnot on the mast?
Oh, it's not a thingamajig. It's a fisherman's pulpit for game fish, marlin and the likes, and it's not a whatnot. It's a lookout platform on the mast. That's where you'll be, Kelly.
Oh, not me. I get dizzy.
We'll see about that.
But, Skipper, I haven't seen any rods or reels aboard.
I aim to harpoon the critters.
How?
Lash a kitchen knife to a broom handle. All right now, all hands lay to. We've got a day's work ahead of us.
And by the time the evening fog rolled up from the river bottom, the job was done. Henry had the watch, and Mary sat beside him to keep him company. For a long time they said nothing, feeling only the dampness of the mist and hearing nothing in the fog-shrouded silence. Then Mary put out her hand, shy and unsure. It lay curled near him like a little leaf. He could take it or not.
Henry?
He took it.
It's strange, isn't it? You and me.
Yes. He kissed her. Her nose was cold. Do you?
I think so.
The next morning dawned bright and fair with a strong breeze from the northwest. The Sarah Peckett weighed anchor, hoisted sail, and set her course south-southeast on Highway 1 out of Fredericksburg, Virginia, with Mary as the masthead lookout, Henry at the tiller, and Captain Peckett in the pulpit on the bow, his harpoon at the ready, scanning the endless waters for the first sign of his quarry.
Ahoy up there, Kelly! See anything?
Not a thing, Captain!
Look alive! Hard to port, Mr. Williams. Keep her out of the ditch.
Look out, the skipper.
Yes, Keller.
There's a chicken coming through the hedge. Don't run over it.
Where?
Get ahead.
A little support, Mr. Williams. Ease your sheet. Steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes.
Look out, she's going to hit it. Hey, what are you doing?
You're going to starboard your helm, Mr. Williams. Give me a fair shot at it. Oh, she's a big one, the biggest one I ever did see. A breaching and a blowing. Harpoons away. Bring her into the wind, Mr. Williams. I have to go over the side after her.
Well, now, maybe you'd like to tell me what you're up to.
Oh, I didn't see you.
Well, I saw you throwing that stick at one of my chickens.
That was a harpoon.
Call it what you like. We got laws here, boats. Take care, chicken thieves. Come on down off in that contraption. Come on, get a move on.
That pitchfork sharp.
You bet it is. Now, we're going into Fredericksburg, you and me. There's a sheriff in town that don't look kindly on chicken thieves. Especially northern chicken thieves.
Mm-hmm. $25 or 30 days in jail, the judge said. There he lay in the jail cot, the walls of his cell creeping closer, the ceiling slowly pressing down. Toward evening, when he thought he could stand it no longer, they opened the cell door and told him he was free. And he wondered how and why. And there, suddenly standing behind the jailer, was the answer. His wife, Sarah, grim-lipped and stern.
There's no fool like an old fool.
How did you find me?
Your greetings from Valparaiso, Chile, was postmarked Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Oh, no.
Oh, no!
Mr. Peckett bolted down the corridor and out of the jailhouse into a rainy autumn night. Down the main street, past the motion picture palace and the 5 and 10 and the post office, he ran until at last he came upon the Sarah Peckett moored at the edge of town. In an instant, he cast loose, hoisted the sail, and with a creak and a rattle, she took the wind and started off down the road. He would sail her forever. They'd never get him. Never. Never again.
Go on. Go on. Faster. Faster.
But far down the highway behind him, the rainy black was sliced by the headlights of a car, and he heard the distant siren and, turning, saw the flashing red light. But the Sarah Peckett could sail where no land craft would venture.
Ready about! Hard a lee!
As the great sail jibed, the Sarah Peckett left the road and sailed across the choppy surface of a plowed field, sailed faster and faster, downhill now, straight down to the river. She never floated. She just settled down as wet inside as out. The mast snapped and the sail folded over her like a broken wing.
God bless you.
Sarah. Oh, no, she really wasn't ever built to float. It's over now.
She was a sweet sailor, Skipper.
Oh. Why, Mary, I thought you two would have gone on by now.
Oh, Henry likes this town.
I've been making a survey. They don't have enough dentists.
So we thought we'd stay on here together.
Oh. Well, then, some good came of the voyage.
Hector, you old fool.
Yes, I am, aren't I? And too old and too foolish to change. Now, what am I to do?
You can come home now, can't you?
Well, I don't know. No, Sarah. Why, Sarah. Why, you're crying.
What if I am?
Well. Home. Yes, I guess I can go home now.
Romance is produced and directed by William Frug. Robert Nathan's The Enchanted Voyage was adapted for radio by William N. Robeson. We wish to thank Mr. Nathan for appearing as our narrator. Howard McNear was featured as Hector Peckett. Others in the cast were Paula Winslow, Eleanor Tannen, Sam Edwards, Charlotte Lawrence, and Junius Matthews. Special music for today's broadcast was composed and conducted by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Coverley, inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. Bullets may not be able to stop United States Marshal Matt Dillon, but a woman does. A strange, angry woman who vents her spleen on the marshal and just about everybody else involved in her story of legal revenge on our next episode of Gunsmoke. For drama that starts with a startling situation and speeds to an even more startling conclusion, stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.